You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
In this section of the book of Jeremiah, the prophet has been assuring the people that God is going to restore their fortunes.
At that time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. When Israel sought for rest, the Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you.
Again, I will build you, and you shall be built, O virgin Israel. Again, you shall take your tambourines and go forth in the dance of the merrymakers. Again, you shall plant your vineyards on the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall enjoy the fruit.
For there shall be a day when sentinels will call in the hill country of Ephraim. Come, let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God.
This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Paul has been explaining to his friends about the righteousness of Abraham, how he had faith in the Lord's promises, and that faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Paul says that the faith of his readers will be likewise reckoned to them as righteousness because of their belief that God has raised Jesus from the dead.
Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God.
And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us.
For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation.
Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, much more surely have the grace of God and the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many.
For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If, because of one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ.
And this is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Friends, it's good to be back with you today. I had a wonderful time, as did all of my family last weekend at the wedding of my niece Michelle, and that was the first family wedding that's taken place among the cousins, so that was a fun time. And just to also let you know, I may be a little hard to find around the office. I have the joy of being on jury duty and was actually put on a jury. So you'll find me when you can best find me, what can I say? I do want to commend to your attention, though, an exciting event that's happening next Sunday. Does anybody know what's happening next Sunday? Back to the Future picnic. That's right, our Labor Day weekend picnic right here at the church. It's going to be a terrific day. There's going to be all kinds of fun for all ages. You can read about it on the card, but there's something I need you all to do. Number one, I need you to buy tickets for the event so we know how much food to plan, because we're going to be purchasing the food during the upcoming week. And also, there are lots of opportunities to volunteer. Now, I know there are some of you that are just itching to be out there over the grill flipping burgers and hot dogs and all of those kinds of things. So please see Sabrina at the welcome booth out in front of church this morning when you buy tickets and when you also sign up to do what you can do that day to help make the picnic a terrific event. Remember, this is an all-church event, so there will be people from the sanctuary as well as people from the loft, all kinds of kids, bounce houses, all kinds of stuff to keep them busy, so it will be a lovely day. And you might even get your opportunity to have your picture taken in the Back to the Future DeLorean. So it's going to be a fun time. Will you pray with me now? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you indeed are our rock, our hope, and our Redeemer. Amen. For 9 years, I was the evil, demonic, totally unsympathetic gatekeeper for the Board of Ordained Ministry. At least that was my reputation to some. The official title was Registrar for Full Connection. So what did that mean? Well, the teams and process that were used for final approval for ordination were my responsibility. Now I ask you, do I look evil and demonic and unsympathetic? You better not answer that. Yeah, let's not even go there. Don't talk to my kids. The process that we used on the Board of Ordained Ministry included written exams, oral interviews, and they covered a number of subject areas. The specific area I was connected with most often was the theology section. It was the team's job in theology to determine if the particular candidate understood and embraced our unique perspective on Christianity, our Wesleyan theology. Unfortunately, over the years, there were a number who did not understand this approach towards the practice of Christianity, and we had to say no. And unfortunately, in many people's minds, grace was not a word that was necessarily attached to the Board of Ordained Ministry. Of course, the acronym BOOM, boom, hardly helped the situation. Now, on the other hand, there were a lot of very wonderful candidates, men and women, who had an amazing grasp of our peculiar approach toward understanding what it meant to be a Christian of the United Methodist ilk. Sometimes we had women and men who really got it. And we would ask them if they could sum up theology and the overall theme of the New Testament in one sentence or one statement. And I suppose that was somewhat a mean question. But with few exceptions, the answer was always grace. That, of course, was the right answer. Our tradition, and it could be argued that the New Testament are primarily about the loving, redemptive, transforming relationship that each of us can have with God. Of course, for some, the simple answer that God loves us was not enough. And instead, we have developed some helpful and also at the same time convoluted theologies to explain the fact that God loves us. It so symbolizes the typical approach of the church over the centuries. Why say something with one word when you can instead write an entire dissertation? Falling in line with so many others throughout the history of Christianity was John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement. And Wesley had a good deal to say about this subject of grace. Now, grace is a word that we like to throw around a lot in Christian circles, and we don't always provide adequate definitions. Well, for myself, I've always thought of grace in terms of something as simple as a rechargeable battery. We go along just fine, but we have to keep having that battery recharged, don't we? Grace, I like to believe, is the stuff that keeps, if you will, our spiritual batteries moving and operating and everything we need to do. Well, Wesley, it turns out, had some very well-developed ideas about grace. And this is week two in our series of Grace-Filled, where the subject of it is obviously grace. Now, last week, Kathy Cannon delved into the idea that Wesley had of something we call prevenient grace. Now, if you weren't here, just to say it in a few statements, prevenient grace is that love that God has for us and that we often sing about long before God might ever become a reality in our lives. You see, we believe that God is at work in us even if we are not aware that is the case. It was very important to Wesley that God was offering grace that was not conditional on where we found ourselves on the faith spectrum. The bottom line is that this prevenient grace meant that God was always, always reaching out to us, always ready to be a part of a deepening and transforming relationship. Well, the next kind of grace on the grace continuum, we might call it for John Wesley, was what we term justifying grace. Now, I want to ask you a question. What do you think of when you hear the word justify? Justify. Think about that for a moment. What are you thinking? Is it perhaps making the case for something, justifying it, or defending our actions, often when we're perhaps not so sure about those actions? Isn't that often when we use the word justify? Well, in traditional Christian theology, the meaning has more to do with this sense of being made right than providing a rationale or reasons for our actions. For example, the Apostle Paul, in the text we heard this morning to the Romans, talks about justification, and it's a major issue in that letter. He spoke of being justified by faith. In other words, being made right with God was strictly because of faith. It was not something that could be earned. Now, you may hear often modern-day evangelicals talking about this concept of being born again. Some might also define this as that idea of being born in the Spirit that is often talked about in many church circles. Well, this idea of justification by faith is a concept that is very, very deeply woven into our United Methodist theology. Wesley would have acknowledged that living the life of faith is a choice we make. We can opt in or we can opt out. God will not make us do anything. And that was really consistent somewhat with Paul, that he was sure that there was nothing that one could do to earn justification. It was the result of having this gift of God, faith. And Wesley, I believe, probably would support this to a point. But as we're going to talk about next week, he also focused on words of things that take place after this justification. He would go on to say that if eventually there were no good works, this conversion, so to speak, might be viewed as suspect. Well, from a Wesleyan point of view, justifying grace is that grace which comes to a person when they've made a decision to claim Jesus. It is a particular kind of grace which enables the believer on their journey of following Jesus. Justifying grace is the grace which equips us to better live into the commands to love God and to love our neighbor with our whole being. So why these different terms, this differentiation of the subject of grace? Well, I suspect that Wesley was confident in the way God always reaches out to us, even when we might not be aware. But Wesley would have also acknowledged that those who follow Jesus have elected to follow in a particular way of life that certainly can be counterculture at times, challenging. It may even be the source of ridicule by some. Remember, the term Methodist, which we cling to dearly, was a derogatory term that was pointed at John Wesley and the others who were members of what they called the Holy Club. You see, living this kind of life of faith, following Jesus, requires a certain fortitude and discipline. So it makes sense that this theological idea of justifying grace emerged. Wesley certainly had to be thinking about Paul's teaching on the subject of justification, and it became a very important notion on which he preached and wrote a great deal. Now, all of this being said, I sometimes wonder, and perhaps you might too, about this notion of justification where we are needing to be made right before God, as if there is something that is so horribly, terribly bad about us that God could not even stand the sight of us. It's really interesting to see how this particular theological notion developed over time. The classic interpretation, of course, and we heard it in this passage from Romans, is that all of this began with being banished from the Garden of Eden, or so the story goes. Well, early on, people of faith seemed skewed toward this idea that we were inherently bad. And the Eden story being created to help hearers to understand why so many bad things are happening. And as our theology further developed, this concept of our what we call fallen state created a real sense of urgency. And this was made an even bigger issue with the later development. And remember, this was a later development, concepts of heaven and hell and damnation and reward, depending on how one's life was lived. The fascinating thing is that a lot of these ideas which developed really had no particular biblical origin. They had more to do with how the church was able to exert control over people. If the only way to get to heaven was following the teaching of the church, well, that gave the church a great deal of power, and that certainly seemed a much better alternative going to heaven than the other. Now, I will admit that I sometimes have a somewhat cynical read on the church and its historic theology. Sometimes this concept of justification, of being made right before God, has been used to manipulate, to separate, and to condemn people. I always have a problem with being asked the question, are you born again? Perhaps some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's all wrapped up in this, what I call a somewhat morally bankrupt idea that there are certain things that we can do or profess that almost seem to magically fix everything for us for all of eternity. Sometimes it's tempting to trash this theological concept of needing to be made right before God, as well as being justified before God. But I believe in the end that there really is something in this Wesleyan idea of justifying grace that is helpful if we are willing to look at it from a somewhat different vantage point. The journey that is following Jesus is a trip of choice. No one tells us that we have to do it. We certainly know in this day and age it really is not the cultural norm, if there ever really was a time when following Jesus was the real cultural norm. And whether this decision for us was sudden or the result of a long series of events and choices which pointed us in this particular direction, there is still a time in our lives when it became the focus of how we choose to live this gift of life that we've been given. Sometimes we get a bit confused in this pursuit, and the church in its many manifestations has sometimes lost sight of the simplicity of the message of Jesus and what it means to follow him. For some reason, loving God with our whole being and loving neighbor has not been enough. We've added so many twists and turns and things that we're told that we have to believe and things that we are told that we can't do, that sometimes it gets very hard to find the concept of loving God and loving neighbor. Well, I really believe that this concept of justifying grace really makes sense when it is our choice to live into the great command. Think about it. Think about what it requires of us to love God with our whole being and to love neighbor as self. Is that easy work? I don't know how it might be for you, but sometimes for me, it's very difficult work, especially that loving neighbor is self part. Let's be honest about that. We see, I believe it's this justifying grace of which Wesley speaks that recharges the spiritual batteries, that gives us the ability and the guidance and help to live into that hope of what it means to love God and what it means to love neighbor. So when I think about it in those terms, justifying grace to me is really important because it's saying not only does God care and care for and love us long before we have decided to be on God's path, but that when we make a decision to be on that path, God equips us even more for going on that journey. And that's how I like to view this justifying grace. It's kind of an additional grace that's given to us because of the knowledge that following Jesus is not an easy path. It's not easy because it asks us often to act in ways that are contrary to our nature. You see, I don't believe we have to buy into this notion of a fallen state of humanity. Instead, I believe we are asked to choose life that is with or without God. And that really is the choice that is before us. And when we make the choice that we want to live a life of which God is a part, that's when this justifying grace becomes even more apparent. And I really have got this suspicion that it's not that the grace is not always there. It's just because when we choose to walk on this path, we start to perceive things in a different way. And all of a sudden, something that was always there is made even more real to us as we continue in that journey. So I ask you the question, have you ever experienced this justifying grace of which I speak today? Have you found those places or those times where God's presence in your life seemed even more real than at other times, particularly those times when we have been challenged in this journey we call life? You see, for people who are followers of Jesus, I believe that's what justifying grace is really about. It's there all the time. Friends, I think we can be confident in the belief that God loves us so much that God is reaching out to us all the time. And God gives us the ability of choice, the freedom to choose how we live our lives. And at the same time, God also says to each of us, I will give you the tools that you need. I will give you the hope. I will give you the care. I will give you the love. And I believe that's what justifying grace is about. So I guess the question that's always before us, friends, is what do we choose? What is our path of choice? Are we open to grace being at work in our lives? What might that grace do in our lives? Amen.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org. or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.